This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today with
Sophie. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
The Texans moved back and didn't draft, but in the division, it feels like, hell, there's an argument, Clint, that they may have gotten the three best players in the draft. When you look at, obviously, Cam Ward, who was the number one pick and the number one quarterback in the draft, and then Jacksonville, they make the move, the early move of the night, moving up from 5 to 2 and giving up a lot to go get Travis Hunter, who I think many people think just natural, just player, best, maybe the best, him or Abdul Carter, maybe the best player in the draft. And then the Colts, they somehow get Tyler Warren fell to 14. And I was going to say, he wasn't the first tight end off the board. Many people thought that he was somebody. I know we loved him. You loved him. He's somebody that can do a lot of different things. So there are three different guys that got added into this division that, listen, I'm not saying the Texans should be afraid. They still got the best coach and quarterback in the division, and not to mention that Super Bowl-level defense that it looks like they're going to have. But those are three dudes they're going to have to deal with now.
Yeah, look, the division got better. There's no doubt about it. Those top picks, like you said, I would say three of the top four players probably, five players.
Definitely Ward and Hunter.
Yeah. Well, I think the Colts got the best tight end in the draft, but we'll see. Yeah, they definitely got better. I think the story – big shout-out to Cam Ward, by the way. I know that's hard for a lot of folks to wrap their head around, given that he's a Tennessee Titan, but he's from the great state of Texas. In fact, he's from just south of Houston here. Zero stars coming out. Goes to school at Incarnate Word in San Antonio, another Texas establishment, if you will, and blows it up there. Then he goes to Washington State. Tears it up there, and then he goes down to Miami and becomes the number one overall pick in a draft. So big shout out to him and his family, man. Got to give the guy from Texas a little bit of love. That's a hell of a story, man. To go from zero stars to the first overall pick in the draft is money.
Yeah. Good for them. By the way, this little news coming from Jordan Schultz of Fox Sports. Several teams picking in the high 30s and 40s are calling. The Browns, who are at 33, the Texans, who are at 34, and the Titans at 35, about potential trades to try to come up and get a wide receiver or edge, are viewed as highly tangible drop-offs in the wide range of evaluations. Would expect both positions to be targeted early in the second round. So, according to Jordan Schultz, the Texans are potentially taking calls for that pick 34.
What positions did you say is a drop-off?
They're talking about wide receiver and edge.
Yeah, so wide receiver, one of them where you know you'd like to see the Texans get a little bit better, get faster for sure, in my opinion. So they're going to be
Clint, if he acquires more picks today,
I don't know. That'd be a tough pill for me to swallow. I think you can still. I mean, I think if it's handled the right way today, and with all the extra picks they have, I think we could end up coming out better with more impact players the way it's all worked out than had we drafted in the first round. Now, we'll see if that happens. That's going to take a lot of movement today. But I really believe that is a possibility. So I'm going to let today play out before I get too worked up. But I tell you what, you trade back from this you know, this first pick in the second round, boy, good gosh, you better have your Ed Ingram and Lakin Tomlinson and Cam Robinson and all and Trent Brown better be the 2020 he better be the 2018 version of Trent Brown.
2018.
That's when he was rolling, wasn't it? Wasn't that when he was rolling? 2018, 2020, somewhere in there.
It's a long time ago.
Hell, that's what I'm talking about. I mean, these guys better come out and absolutely kill it. We'll see. Yeah, I don't see them trading back. I think they use that early second round pick, and then I think they package some things up and climb in the second round again.
I may regret it as I did yesterday, maybe, but I'm more likely to see them doing something with those three third round picks to trade up to get further, more than I would see them trading back again. But I mean, I guess if it's another good deal, I mean, I'm sure Nick will listen and take the call. But by the way, back to the big move of the day, Clint, did you have any problem with how aggressive Jacksonville was to go get Travis Hunter in that trade? The Browns, they got from them the fifth overall pick, trading the second and the fifth. They also get their second round pick, which is 36th overall. They also get a fourth round pick, which is 126, and then a 2026 first round pick in next year's draft. Listening and seeing everything they gave up, did you think that was too aggressive, too much for Jacksonville to go get Travis Hunter?
No. I didn't. I think you're getting a potential lockdown corner and a potential number one receiver, depending on how you use him. And you're getting a guy that has stayed healthy. And as a prospect, you look at him as an uber healthy guy that played more snaps than anybody in the country. He played 113. I heard yesterday where I don't know that anybody else in the country played more than 85 or 86 snaps.
I'm about to say, anybody else could be close.
I mean, you're talking about a guy that's playing 25 to 30 snaps more. And a big part there is he stayed healthy doing it. To what degree he does it at the next level, I don't know. Word on the street is, what I'm hearing out of Jacksonville is that their plan is to use him as a wide receiver and a fill-in defensive back, which is interesting to me.
That's interesting. You generally think it's the other way.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, that shocks me, to be honest with you. I thought he would be a full-time lockdown corner, and we'd flip him over on the offensive side of the football in critical situations, not because he's capable one way or the other, but it's easier for me as a play caller on the offensive side of the football to dictate, all right, this situation, I want to use him, red zone or third down or this screen package or this mid-range game. Like, you can dictate that. When you do it the other way, it's like you could see him standing on the sideline a good chunk of the game because whatever the opponent's offense did do didn't put him in a position where he could be used, right? So I would think that it would be flipped, but we'll see. I mean, I think it's a hell of a trade. I think it's a hell of a get. You're talking about a high character guy that stays healthy, that can play a ton of snaps, that, by the way, can also be a number one at two of the higher paid receiver positions on a team.
And I think he went to a progressive spot too, like that Liam Cohen and that group. I think that's a group that will be a lot more open to using him. And I think as us as football fans, it'll be fun to see potentially his full potential of what he can do, because I don't know if other places – I think this is a place that might be willing to play him 100 snaps, if it got down to it. I think people look at it and gave him a lot. They gave up a lot, and they did, but – I like what actually they said. I know Sean and Seth love to give their general manager a hard time. But he said, man, sometimes there are players in drafts every year, and then there are guys who are truly impact players that affect the game and outcomes of the game more than others. And I do. I think Travis Hunter has that potential.
And
has that potential in multiple ways that we haven't really seen before.
Yeah, look, and I heard Marcus Spears and Dan Orlovsky talking about the box office impact that he could have, and Marcus said no chance, it's more about Trevor Lawrence, and Dan Orlovsky was more about Travis Hunter. I'm going to tell you, the example they gave was, you tuned into Colorado football. Why? Because Deion Sanders, right? I disagree. Like, I did initially. I kept coming back. The Deion thing got old quick. Like, I was like, all right, in terms of me going back and watching, right? It got old quick. Travis Hunter, though, I want to see how many snaps he's playing. What's he doing on offense? Is he locking anybody down on defense? Like, Travis Hunter was the star attraction. So I do believe he's more than just a great player. I think he's a guy that ultimately could end up being a box office guy, must-see guy,
a ticket-selling guy. It's a little bit of the show hate kind of thing, right? Like, stuff you've not seen before.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Go in there and see, like, oh, he's about to just, like, yeah. like that as much, maybe since Deion, oddly enough. Yeah. All right, coming up. The Rockets, they've got a huge game 3 tomorrow, and there is some news, important news coming out of that game. We'll share that with you coming up next.